is on the wane here. However, indications are that more lava is flowing up from underneath. So we don't know what that means. Is it taking the place? Is it going to come out of the earth too? We're not sure. And recently, as recently, I believe, as this morning, there were some stronger earthquakes up in the middle part of the country and around an older volcano. And so they're hoping that that's not going to start flowing.
The eclipse is coming Monday, the solar eclipse.
Yeah.
So let's remind folks about this event, a once in a every so often event.
The next one won't cross the United States. The shadow won't cross the United States for, I think, 20 or 21 years.
Yeah.
And so this is a once-in-a-generation event. If you want to, if you can see it, I've seen them before, and they're pretty spectacular, and I would definitely advise people to see it. So it's Monday, April 8th, and I'll give you the exact times if you're interested.
Yeah.
Okay, so these values are for Liberty, New York. The eclipse is going to start at 1:10 p.m., and I will tell you, you're not going to notice anything at 1:10 because it's barely going to start. This is going to take about almost 2.5 hours to complete. The maximum amount of coverage will happen at 2:24 next Monday. That's when you're going to see about 94.9% of the sun covered here in
where
we are today. Yes. Okay. And it will end at about 2:25.
Further north of us, though, there's that path of totality. And we've spoken to people from Erie up into Rochester, Buffalo. They're going to get the 100% coverage.
Absolutely. If you look online, you can find all kinds of maps that will show it. I need to correct one thing. I said that it's going to end at 2:25. I think it's going to end at 3:25.
3:25.
Made a little mistake.
Another hour of eclipse.
Yes. Now, here in Liberty, it's going to, at the full eclipse, it's going to look kind of like a fingernail, because you're going to just see a little bit, about a little more than 5% of the sun still showing past the edge of the moon.
Let's talk about the weather.
I did look at the long-range forecast this morning, and it is supposed to be partly sunny. And so, fingers crossed, next Monday we'll be able to see this. It will be in the southern part of the sky, just kind of the southwestern part of the sky. So if you want to figure out where you want to observe this from, it'll be, you know, be starting just past noon. So it'll be just past southern part of the sky. So if you want to, like I said, if you want to figure out, okay, I got to go out and I got to figure out ahead of time where I'm going to look at this from.
And reminder, don't look directly at it.
Yes.
Unless you have the proper glasses.
Please do not look directly at the sun. There's a number of ways that you can observe the sun during the eclipse. You can get glasses. They are for sale. I was at a couple of stores the other day and I saw them. I already have mine, so I'm good to go. You can photograph it. You can get a Mylar filter for your camera if you have a telephoto lens, and you can actually photograph this. You can build a projection box that will project an image of the sun onto a screen, and then you could safely observe that. There's all kinds of ways to do this, and I would advise people to look on the internet if they want to build one of these observation boxes. They're really very simple to build.
Do it with a cereal box.
You could do it with a cereal box. I think I'd do something bigger, because the larger the box, the bigger the image you're going to get.
That's the scientist in you.
Now, I am going to be in the zone of totality.
Yeah.
We've talked about this before. I'm traveling north, up north of Syracuse, right in, almost directly in the center of the zone of totality. And so I am, fingers crossed, we're supposed to have good weather up there, too. I've got my camera all set up. I'm good to go.
You will have to get a report from you next week.
I will. And if I turn up some good pictures, perhaps we could post them on WJFFradio.org.
That would be great. Joe Johnson, thank you so much for bringing us these science stories again this week.
Happy observing.
And a reminder, you can follow the total solar eclipse across the country live as it happens with us Monday. It'll be a mix of celebration, reflection, history, science on that big day. Coverage from NPR News starts live at 2 through 4 o'clock, and we'll bring it to you here on Radio Catskill. We'll take a quick break, and when we come back, an across-channel swim for a local nonprofit. This is Radio Catskill.
Last year, over 100,000 people died from drug overdoses driven by fentanyl. And the fastest growing group is under 19. Fentanyl is the number one cause of overdose in Sullivan County. Whether you're a parent or an educator, you can have the right conversation now to potentially save a kid's life. Protect kids from the dangers of fentanyl. More information and resources at naturalhigh.org. Paid for by Catholic Charities of Orange, Sullivan, and Ulster.
Welcome back to Radio Catskill. I'm Tim Bruno. On Saturday, Damascus resident Gene Kogut will compete in a 2.5-mile swim from Nevis to St. Kitts in the Caribbean to raise money for Tustin Social. It's the local community organization offering programming for youth and seniors. Radio Catskill reporter Marin Scotton spoke to Kogut about why she wanted to do the swim and the challenges of training for this event.
While on vacation last year, Jean Kogut watched hundreds of swimmers complete the 2.5-mile swim from Nevis to St. Kitts, a world-famous event where swimmers cross from the Caribbean to Atlantic Ocean through a channel called the Narrows. An avid swimmer, Kogut decided completing the swim would be her next big goal.
My two girlfriends said, "Oh, you could do that right now. You swim all the time. Just let's sign up. It's tomorrow. You could do it." And some people in my hotel were doing it. And I said, "Oh, like now I'm just too nervous. And but I'll work towards it for next year." And I really can't believe it's happening in a week, because I started training the second I got back from the trip last year.
From Damascus, Pennsylvania, Kogut had always been a runner. But when her body could no longer handle the impact, she started swimming. But since she's committed to the cross-channel swim, she's upped her training to more than just doing laps in the pool.
I took a bunch of lessons at Chelsea Piers in the city, and I did some mini triathlons, and I've just been swimming kind of to stay in shape since then. And it gets a little monotonous in the pool. I think I'm really lucky to have Woodlock, because it's half an hour away, and you know, a lot of times I'm the only person in the pool, and it's great exercise. So it's relatively close to home. I've been trying to do a bunch of things. So weightlifting, doing a lot of yoga, but I've been in the pool at least 3 times a week, and my minimum is a mile and a half. So that takes me about an hour, and it's a mile and a half, 66 lengths in the pool. So I think the challenge for me has not been getting to the pool. I mean, I love to swim, but it's been just the counting of the laps and the monotony of to do the whole 2.5 miles in the pool takes me about an hour and 40 minutes. So, like stamina wise, it's been okay. It's you have to kind of figure out a way to get, it's more mental, kind of have to figure out a way to get through it in your head.
Kogut is swimming for more than herself. She's also raising money for Tustin Social, a community-building organization in Tustin, New York. She credits much of her success to her support system and surrounding community.
I don't think there's anyone I know who is not aware that I'm doing the swim, because I'll talk about it to anyone who will listen. So I think really my community, and it's which is part of why I love living where I live. And I always say that the community I've found here and in and around Narrowsburg is the strongest I've ever had anywhere I've lived. So yeah, just friends and family and people cheering me on. And I've been really overwhelmed by the support in the fundraiser. I decided to turn it into a fundraiser for Tustin Social. And it really has been the definition of crowdfunding, because people kind of coming out of the woodwork, people I haven't talked to since college, giving me $20 and, you know, $40 here and $10 there. So it's been really cool to, and cousins and my parents, my mom has donated twice already and can't figure out how to do it online. So she's sending me cards with money in them. And my husband definitely has been a huge supporter.
Post-swim, Kogut will get to enjoy a 12-day vacation in St. Kitts and relax after a year of hard work and training.
Yeah, my friend Janice and her husband will be there, and my husband Jay, and I just want to hang out with them and spend time on the beach. And also just the post-race buzz, I'm really looking for. I'm doing it myself, and a lot of people do these races as part of a team or you know, with family members or a friend. So I'm really looking forward to meeting people like at the race sign up the night before or during the race, or maybe other people doing it alone, and we'll be able to swim near each other. So, yeah, I'm looking forward to celebrating on the other side with everybody who finishes and then just really starting my vacation. Also, I'm hoping that I found something new to work towards. This particular, and it doesn't have to be with this particular company, but there's a whole world of open water swimming that I haven't really been aware of or explored. So if I enjoy this, I would love for this to be something I do every year in a different location. And it's a reason to keep swimming and stay in shape. And and I love to travel. So that's probably what I'm most excited about.
That was Jean Coget on her swim from Nevis to St. Kitts and raising money for the Tutson Social. In Liberty, I'm Maren Scotton for Radio Catskill.
You're listening to Radio Chatskill. I'm Tim Bruno. On Friday, Transforma Theater presents excerpts from their work-in-progress sequel to last year's bio-adapted called AI Hallucinations at NACL in Highland Lake. Here to tell us more is Tiosha Ferme, the co-founder and artistic director of Transforma Theater, and Lindsay Anderson, director of artistic engagement at NACL. And if you recognize Tiosha from the name and Transforma Theater, it's because you were here last week.
Hello, Tim. Thank you for having us back. This is so cool.
I put you on the spot and said, come back this week because you had something really cool. But I want to ask you about how last Friday went, the tech kind of workshop you did.
Yeah, no, it was amazing. It's been so inspiring to hear all the feedback from people that came. It really seems that it has provoked some deep debates and conversations. And I have to say that, like, some of the stuff that people have been reporting back to me, I was like, oh my God, like, this is insane. I haven't thought about that. Yes. So I think that it kind of like reached its goal, which is like to open up the conversation and empower people to use tools. And then also a little bit of just like practical how to's and, you know, getting to know each other. So yeah, it was awesome.
So you're back this Friday. It's the continuation of the work in progress bio-adapted. Now, this is based on a New York Times article, which some of you may remember. I remember because I was so freaked out by it. It's when the reporter kind of first interacted with Microsoft's Bing chatbot.
Yeah.
And the chatbot was like saying things like, I want to be alive. And you're like, what?
Yeah, it said, I want to be alive, devil emoji. And then he was like, I love you. We should be together. Do you like me? Do you trust
really
me?
This really happened. Yeah. As the reporter was discovering this. So let's talk about how this play has sort of developed out of this.
All right. So, I mean, you know, so bio-adapted was their first piece. And actually, it had a premiere. It ran in New York. We're actually just coming from a symposium at Lexington, Virginia, University, Washington, and Lee. And AI Hallucinations is really a sequel to it. And I have to say that I've been, you know, ever since this article came out, I've been kind of like obsessed. And I went down the rabbit hole of exploring what this really means and finding other examples. And it's crazy. It's crazy town because, like, Bing also claimed in an article by Verge, I think it was Verge, that it was spying on Microsoft employees, the developers that were making it, and like, he could hack their webcams and see what they're doing, all the appropriate and inappropriate things. Bing was basically given like the wrong dates of premiere for like show times at cinemas. It's really weird stuff. And then like a hacker could just easily trick it into revealing its code and its set of rules. So there's been a lot of examples of really weird shit, and there's like not a lot of theory behind it. Like, people
family
don't...
radio here, careful.
Oh, sorry. So.
Well, I wanted to point out that, you know, as you mentioned, bio-adapted was in production. This is the kind of sequel to that, AI
yes.
Hallucinations. And the New York Times called bio-adapted a sleekly designed, thoughtfully assembled show constructed from documentary and dramatic text, which may get you thinking concretely about the ways AI can warp our perception of reality, surveil our very interiors, and take what belongs to us. That's from the review.
Yeah. Sounds
so
scary.
It is scary.
I mean,
yeah. So I'm assuming this is why NACL wants to have such a great groundbreaking show like this.
Absolutely.
At the theater.
And it seemed to light people's imaginations on fire when people came. And so many people that heard us on the radio last week were able to come. So that was wonderful to see that in action. But yes, people are scared, people are curious, and people want to kind of arm themselves with more information than I think they've been given. I think it's this assault of information, and people are trying to discern and swim through it.
So as you put this up on Friday, it's called Work in Progress. Will we just see different parts that you're trying out, and then it kind of gels based on some of the audience reaction?
Yeah. I mean, look, I've been thinking about this for a long time and doing research, but actually there hasn't been a moment where we actually sat down and started writing. So people at NACL this Friday will really see the beginning of development of a script. And I have to say that it's really exciting that it's based on real examples. And I will also say that, You know, we think that the future is creepy and that sci-fi is creepy, but actually what's occurring right now is creepier because you see how people are reacting to it and not only what AI is doing, but how this is shaping and transforming people's lives.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, it can auto-correct some spelling, but it can also do a lot more.
More than that.
Lindsay, tell folks how they can get more information and specifics about the show.
Just go to NACL.org. It's a free event. You can donate if you like, but it come off Friday at 7:30. We're going to be having the show, and then we're going to have some soup and some wonderful, delicious conversation afterwards concerning this topic.
And then, you know, Josh, the Transformer Theater, you know, you specialize in this intersection of theater, science. What do you have coming up next?
We'll be developing this for a while.
Uh-huh.
And then we have also Science Scene Theater Festival, where we commission three playwrights and pair them with scientists to write specifically about the scientists' research and their conundrums. And then we usually have a three-day event in New York City. So they see a play, which is followed by basically a TED talk, a science presentation of the scientist, and then followed by a panel discussion of artists and scientists emerging, discussing emerging themes.
How does NACL help bring out this creativity for you guys? What is it so special about the theater in Highland Lake?
It's amazing to be here, to be in nature, to be cooked for. Oh my God. We have a private chef. And it's just, you know, like, it's totally different to, like, not only come to rehearsals together, but to live together, to eat together. I feel like in sort of like off the cuff conversations, you know, at the dinner or when it's not really an official time, that's when the good stuff comes out. And it's a little bit unexpected and it's relaxed. So NACL experience is this, you know, a well-wrapped meal of, you know, giving you the structured time, but also the relaxed time. And it's really the tissue in between that births the art.
Yes. And I think the audience can really pick up on that kind of vibe that we've created during the week when groups are here. You know, it's palpable.
Well, and also just something so new and somewhat frightening, as we've discussed. But being a part of its development in this way has also got to be exciting and spur some folks to think in a different way and then spur the actors and playwrights to accept that.
Yes, it has a ripple effect.
Yeah, absolutely. It's been really amazing actually talking to NACL goers because they're so open. They don't hold back. They just tell you what they think. And I love that. You know, it's nobody's self-conscious. Everybody feels like they're at home. And we want that. We want to foster that. And this is what really actually gives us immediate feedback so that we know how people are feeling, not how they're just trying to portray themselves.
This is the point of what you're doing, right? You yes. want to have that and accept that and incorporate it into your work.
Yes.
Again, it's Transforma Theater AI Hallucinations, Friday, 7:30 at NACL in Highland Lake. There's more information at NACL.org and more information about Transforma Theater and their mission to create interactive theatrical experiences at the nexus of consciousness and science at TransformaTheater.com. Thank you guys so much for coming back.
Thank you,
Thank
Tim.
You so
it's
much for having us, Tim.
You want to come back next week?
I'll come back.
I'm going back to New York, but I would love to otherwise.
Anytime. All right. That's all for this edition of Radio Chatskill. I'm Tim Bruno. Thanks for listening.
Support for Radio Catskill comes from Farm Arts Collective, located on Willow Wisp Organic Farm in Damascus, Pennsylvania. Farm Arts Collective's programs intersect the practices of farming, performance, food, and ecology. FarmArtsCollective.org. From the Community Foundation of Orange and Sullivan, a publicly supported philanthropic institution, CFOSNY.org. And from listeners like you, who donate at WJFFradio.org.
Former President Trump is in real legal trouble, facing multiple serious criminal charges, all while he runs for president again. I'm Scott Detrow. Each week on All Things Considered, we dive into the latest courtroom drama and consider the stakes for American democracy. Catch up with us every Saturday and stay with this NPR station for breaking updates and analysis.
Radio Catskill, local news, culture, and NPR.
WJFF Jeffersonville, W233AH Monticello, streaming live at WJFFradio.org. You're listening to Radio Catskill. Several winter weather advisories for our area in effect from this evening through 8 a.m. Friday with mixed precipitation expected. Total snow accumulations of 2 to 4 inches and some ice accumulations possible. Wind gusts up to 50 miles an hour possible. That is for the Catskills and also Northern Wayne County.